Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 9th day of June, 2017. Before I introduce our guest and our topic for the day, I do have to praise the Lord for BatteryDepot.com for renewing their advertising contract with me. And I am on a mission right now, and I'm hoping and praying that you who are listening, and I'm sincere and being very true and heartfelt here, I'm on a mission, and if you could help me find businesses, whether they are large or small, but especially large corporations and industries that spend tens of thousands of dollars annually on batteries or more. But of course, any business that uses batteries of any dollar amount annually, and have them referred to BatteryDepot.com or refer them to me, and I will refer them to BatteryDepot.com. I really want to return the blessing to my dear friend Sal D'Antona, the owner of BatteryDepot.com, for the selflessness and graciousness and benevolence that he has bestowed upon me and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio since its inception in 2005, 2006, somewhere in that area, when we first launched on Long Island, New York. And he has also been funding the debates that I have been orchestrating, primarily with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, going back to 1995. So I thank God for this dear brother, this faithful and loyal brother, and I really want to return the favor to him, return the blessing to him. And if you could help me on this mission to find businesses, large and small, but especially large, that will spend a lot of money on batteries every year to bless Sal D'Antona and BatteryDepot.com. He obviously has a heart for using the money that the Lord has blessed him with to fund things like On Your Trip and Zion Radio. So please help me return that favor and find battery dealers or companies like a Radio Shack or something like that that uses batteries. Perhaps you are the owner or president of such a company. Please contact me at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I would love to introduce you to BatteryDepot.com. But today we have returning to the program Aaron Dunlop, who is a native of Northern Ireland, a graduate of Geneva Reformed Seminary in South Carolina. He's an author, and he's the founder of ThinkGospel.com. Today we are discussing a ministry that he is involved in that his father is also intricately involved in, and that is FAME, F-A-M-E, which stands for Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor. And we're also going to be talking a bit about or promoting the Foundations Conference in New York City, an event where Aaron's father, Alan, will be speaking, among other speakers. But if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question for Aaron Dunlop, on FAME, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Aaron Dunlop.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be back with you.
And tell us something before we go into FAME. For those of our listeners who have not yet heard you, they did not catch our last interview with you, tell our listeners about thinkgospel.com.
ThinkGospel.com began while I was pastoring in Victoria in British Columbia. It initially started as a simple gospel presentation, a website that our congregation could go to direct others, unsaved people to, that they would get a simple gospel presentation without all the churchy jargon that we so often fill our evangelism with and the church misses out. It developed then into a daily devotional, which we keep up to date, and also a blog.
And, in fact, the last time you were on, it was good to hear that people were discovering and enjoying that blog. And now that you are working with your father, Alan, with FAME, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor, please let our listeners know a bit about how this ministry came into being.
Right. Well, I was born, as you said, in Northern Ireland, and my father was, when I was a young child, was in the training for the ministry, and he was a minister in Northern Ireland for a number of years. But in 1990, he went to Africa, Cameroon, to visit missionaries from our church there in Northern Ireland, and he got smitten, for want of a better term, with the need of the African church, the people in Africa, whom we call our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we had also missionaries in Kenya, so he had visited Kenya also. And so he got a heart for missions in Africa, and he traveled back and forward from 1990. And up until 1996, then he began this mission, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor. And at that time, it was simply to help the local people in a particular area, Kithamula, to help them in the farming, in medical training, and so forth. And so he went out in 1996, and he began to develop what we have now there in Kithamula.
And, go ahead, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Sorry. I might say also that in 1996, I myself, I had been there in 1995 with him in that area before the mission started. But in 1996, I went to Bible College, and then I came across to North America to study further for the ministry. And so all of this time, the 20 years, I have sort of been disconnected from his work in Africa. And it's only in the past couple of years that I've been back in Africa, seen the work, and gotten myself involved with the work.
Now, if you could tell us something about the specific area of Africa that FAME is doing their outreach, and I believe it is primarily to children, but if you can give us something about the culture, the religion, and just some more detail about that specific area, because I know that Africa is not a monolith. It's a very large continent with a variety of different cultures and religions and so forth, involving many countries. So if you could tell us about the specific area that FAME is working in.
Right. The area that we work in is in northeastern Kenya, about 3.5 hours north east of Nairobi. It's a very rural area, and it has been influenced by Christianity. And when I use the word Christianity, I mean broad Christendom. Catholicism has been heavily influential in that area, and evangelicalism also. There's still a lot of superstition, witchcraft, and false religion is also making an inroads into the area. It's a very arid region of Kenya. The people among whom we work are very hard-working people, but they're working against the elements, they're working against the cursed earth, do here in North America. So there's a massive, massive opportunity to work among these people.
And, you know, my new friend, Pastor Sam Olewach, or Olewach, I kept mispronouncing his name when he was on the program recently. He is a pastor in Kenya, and he expressed a lot of interest in meeting with you and discussing further how perhaps FAME and his church can cooperate.
Yes, I heard that interview, or part of that interview you did with the Kenyan pastor, and I was thrilled to hear the Reformed theology is making an inroads and is developing in that part. He's, I believe, over in Western Kenya, so it's quite a ways away. But there's also a church that he works with in Nairobi. So I was thrilled to hear that interview and to see that the Lord is doing the work and that the Reformation is making inroads into Kenya.
Yeah, he is the pastor of a Grace Baptist Church in Kisumu, or Kisumu.
And, oh, yeah.
And, in fact, I will make sure that you get the website and all that. In fact, I have it right here. It's, and this is for our listeners as well, a Grace Baptist Church, Kisumu, K-I-S-U-M-U. That's K-I-S as in Sam, U, M as in Michael, U. KISUMU.blogspot.com. So it's Grace Baptist Church, KISUMU.blogspot.com. And Pastor Sam Olewach is the senior pastor there. But, you have, three main avenues which you are helping those in need in that area of Kenya. You provide medical aid, child rescue, and evangelistic outreach. How specifically is FAME, we'll go through all of those, how is FAME providing medical aid?
The medical aid is specifically through our clinic in the village where we began our compound 20 years ago. We have a clinic there, and that clinic services a broad swath of the area of around Mwingi, which is the main town. We also have a remote clinic in Manu, which is about 30 minutes away, and it's self-sufficient. So we have the basis of our work is through clinics, which gives us an opening then into evangelism in the area, and it is through the ministry of the clinics and child rescue that we have won the hearts of the people, and we have gotten their ears, and they hear the gospel, and they are receptive to us and the gospel because we go in with this model of setting up a clinic, and with the clinic in Manu, and with the clinic at the main headquarters there, we have chaplains involved, and nurses, and ministry alongside the clinic work.
And when you have child rescue endeavors there, specifically, what does that mean?
Child rescue, we could say, is divided into two parts. First of all, and the primary aspect of it would be the orphanage. We have over 170 children in our orphanage there in Kithamula, where we feed them. They're educated in a local school, which we have helped develop the local schools, and they get catechized and learn the gospel at the center. And then we have, just a couple of years ago, we developed a baby unit. And the baby unit is to rescue abandoned infants from the street or from mothers who don't want their children or have died in childbirth or they're incapable of caring for them because of alcohol abuse or drug abuse or whatever. So the child rescue is developed in those two main areas, the baby rescue and the orphanage.
Now, is that something that is rampant? Are there a lot of children just being left in the street, even infants?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a massive area of need in Kenya. And our center cannot do the half of what we could do because of we're limited by size and finances. So, but it is a major area of need in Kenya.
Wow. Now, I know you can't be a mind reader in this regard, but have you been able to get some kind of a consensus on the average mother who is leaving their child in the street somewhere just to fend for itself or to die? From what you can grasp, are these women confident that someone is going to rescue these children, like a person who might leave a child on the doorstep of a church or a hospital or something? Or are they just leaving there assuming that they're going to be killed or just or perish from exposure or something?
I would say both. Many mothers who have been incapable of caring for their children will try to get somebody else to care for them who is equally incapable, and many times there's aunts or uncles and so forth have tried to, but it's just a multiple different scenarios. For instance, disability, children with disability, their parents are incapable of caring for them. The mother perhaps has got AIDS and can't care for the children, or is on the streets with alcoholism or drug abuse. So there's multiple scenarios from which the children are rescued. And, you know, there are also children on the street in the towns there who are addicted to alcohol and drugs. Just little street kids running around with nothing, with nobody to care for them.
What kind of drug abuse is prevalent over there in that area?
Well, any that I have seen is mostly sniffing glue, which was back in my childhood was a big thing. It has developed, obviously, into a major drug abuse industry here in North America with multiple types of drugs. But there's local drugs that they grow and alcohol that they make. So they get their high in different ways, you know.
And one of the things that you do is evangelistic outreach. We all appreciate those organizations that reach out to the impoverished with food, water, clothing, and shelter, but it's not really a Christian endeavor unless there's an evangelical outreach or evangelistic outreach. How specifically are you doing this?
Well, our outreach is quite extensive. In the area, the staff at our main headquarters is about 31 people on the staff on the payroll. In addition to that, we have three or four casual pastors who come in on a part-time basis, and we have three pastors full-time. The pastoral staff who are employed at our center are engaged in a number of different aspects of the work. We have a chaplain who looks after the general spiritual health of the center and the children. We have a pastor who is employed with our Bible school. We have part-time Bible school to train pastors. We have a catechist, and the catechist also does evangelistic work one day a week. He'll go out with our missionary on the field, Rodney Davidson, and they'll go into a remote area. We'll take a motorbike and go into an area where you can't get to by other vehicle, or it's too far to walk, and they'll evangelize in the remote villages. The catechist also looks after 36 churches and the Sunday schools of those churches. He teaches the children, catechizes them, make sure that the curriculum and the teaching of the gospel to the children is ongoing and is biblical. So the as far as the spiritual and evangelistic work of the center, beyond the center itself, it's quite extensive.
Now, what is the theological perspective of those ministers in charge of the preaching, teaching, and training up the local folks in the gospel? Where are they coming from theologically?
Well, they're trained locally. One man in particular has been trained outside of Kenya. He studied with me 20 years ago, a good man, Titus Nzuka, Reformed. We are a Reformed ministry, but most of them have been trained locally in local Bible colleges. And that's an area that we are developing. We have a small part-time Bible college and we're training them. And that's what I've got involved with in the past couple of years, going out for a week of Bible teaching to teach the pastors. And that's an area that we need to develop, and we are developing.
We have two questions for you from Jenny in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these questions to you, and I'm also going to email you her questions so you have them right in front of you, and then you can answer them when we come back from the first break.
Okay,
the first question that Jenny from Bensalem, Pennsylvania asks is, how would you briefly describe the kingdom of God in conjunction with the gospel for non-believers? And our second question is, your missionary work in East Kenya through FAME must face daily challenges, though I am sure that you reap great rewards in heaven for all that you and your fellow laborers do in carrying out Christ's commandments. What are the toughest challenges you face in that part of Africa, and is there any guerrilla warfare in the region that the mission faces? And I'll email this to you. If anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. So don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages, God willing, with Aaron Dunlop and more of our discussion on FAME.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Aaron Dunlop, a native Northern Islander, native of Northern Ireland, a graduate of Geneva Reform Seminary in South Carolina, an author and founder of ThinkGospel.com. We are discussing an organization founded by his father, Alan Dunlop, FAME, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor. And Aaron's father, Alan, is also going to be speaking at the Foundations Conference in New York City this June 22nd through the 23rd. And I will be giving you more details on how you can register for that conference as well. I intend to be there, God willing. And if you'd like to join us on the air with your own question for Aaron Dunlop, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And before we went to the break, we had a listener in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, Jenny. And she wrote in a couple of questions. She said, let's first of all go to her question. How would you briefly describe the kingdom of God in conjunction with the gospel for non-believers?
Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Jenny, for the question. It's a massive question, so I like the way you put briefly describe the answer. The kingdom of God. When I think of the kingdom of God in relation to unbelievers, I think of it in two categories. God is sovereign over all his creation. That's the most fundamental sense of the word kingdom in the scriptures. Lucifer, of course, rebelled against God and established his own kingdom, according to Matthew 12 and verse 25 and following. And so there are these two kingdoms, the battle of the ages, ongoing. So in evangelism, unless we inform the minds of those whom we are evangelizing of this kingdom of Satan, which they are in, by the way, there is no point in presenting them with the kingdom of God's sovereign grace in Christ. It's the distinction between Mount Sinai, the law, and Mount Calvary, the grace that is presented in the gospel. And so your question, how would I briefly describe the kingdom of God in conjunction with the gospel for non-believers? I present them, first of all, with the need, with the sin, with the bad news, if you like, before we present them with the good news. In fact, just last week, at our center in Kitimula, the missionary there, Rodney Davidson, did a Children's Day evangelistic outreach, and we had at the center 1,400 children throughout the day. They divided them up into four parts, I believe it was. And they taught them in the morning on the subject of Sinai and the law, which condemns them. And in the evening, throughout the day then, towards the evening, they taught them concerning Calvary and the grace of Christ and God in the gospel. So I hope that answers your question with regard to the kingdom of God.
And her second, a couple of questions. She says, your missionary work in East Kenya through FAME must face daily challenges, though I am sure that you reap great rewards in heaven for all that you and your fellow laborers do in carrying out Christ's commands. What are the toughest challenges you face in that part of Africa?
Well, that's a hard question because it depends on which part of the work you're thinking at a particular time. If I'm thinking of pastors, the toughest part from my perspective is the fact that most pastors are uneducated in the gospel. Most of them don't have a library, they don't have resources for preaching, and some pastors, all the resource they have is the notes in a study Bible. So that is a major area of difficulty when we're dealing with pastors. Of course, at the present time, the greatest problem is the drought. There has been an ongoing drought in that part of Kenya and further north into Somalia, in the Horn of Africa, where thousands of people have already died. I was there 4 weeks ago, and the short rains had not come. And just the day before I left, it rained. And the drought had been so bad and the lack of rain so persistent that the rain that actually did come when the animals were hit by the rain, many of them died because they had gotten no food and they were weak already. And then the change of climate and the rain killed many of the animals.
Really?
That's right, yeah. just the day before I left.
I didn't even know that that was a phenomenon, that rain would kill animals, unless, of course, it was some kind of a flood involved or some kind of a real serious storm with debris and trees and so on collapsing, but just the rain itself was killing the animals.
Yeah, because they were already weakened, of course, it wasn't the rain itself alone. They were weakened by the famine, and they were emaciated by lack of food. And so the change of climate and the rain did the last job on killing some of the animals. And that was on the news and newspapers and so forth just the day before I left. So the drought at the minute is a major problem, and we have at the mission station there implemented famine relief. So we have at the minute our mission leader Rodney Davidson goes out into a village and they'll preach the gospel. They'll choose 150 families, the worst cases, and they'll feed those families for a number of months up until the next rains come, which are in November. So we have a famine relief program already in place, and a month or so ago we put an appeal out in Northern Ireland and in America here, North America, to try and raise funds for that relief. And we're limited, of course, by funds, so we have to choose the worst cases. And towards the end of that appeal in October, November time, we will, with the famine relief, the food, the rice and the beans, we will also give them good seed to sow so that when the next rains come, they'll have something to sow for their harvest. So that would be a major hardship for the mission at the present time.
And Jenny from Bensalem, Pennsylvania's third question is there any guerrilla warfare in the region that the mission faces?
Yes. I'm not sure if you remember a year ago, or maybe more than a year ago, at Garissa University, which is about an hour north of our center, there was a shooting and there was a number of students killed. The problem in the area north of us, and it's not so much in our area, but not far from our area, there's a number of Somali warriors, troublemakers, cattle rustlers come down and cause problems. Of course, ISIS is involved further north in the Somali area. But while I was there at the end of April doing a Bible teaching week, one of the pastors got this very sad news that his nephew had been killed. And the family, this gentleman called Samson, his nephew was killed. The family had invested quite a bit of money in this young man's education, the uncles and the father, and he was out herding his cattle. And Somali cattle rustlers came down and sliced his throat and took the cattle. So that goes on, that's ongoing. Cases like that are ongoing.
Well, thank you, Jenny, in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron and spreading the word about the program in Pennsylvania and beyond. Well, since we were mentioning the drought and how a rain and change of weather actually killed many of the animals, tell us about the water tank project that FAME is involved in.
Well, at the center itself, we have three concrete tanks, and those tanks will hold 1.1 million liters of water. We use that water at our center for drinking and for food preparation. If there was a sustained drought, that water would last us for about a year. So we're thankful that that was implemented. We harvest off a 4,000 square meter area of our roofs. We harvest that water ourselves off the roof catchment, and it's all drained, gravity fed into our three main concrete tanks. In addition to that, we have a borehole, and we have built a tank. The tank is being replaced this year, the end of July, beginning of August, we have a team going out from North America and from Northern Ireland. And the tank is actually being replaced at the present time. And the team will go out, replace the pipe from the borehole to the tank. And that tank services a number of schools in the area. It also services our centre for different purposes. And it services a number of villages. Just last year, we took a pipe from the borehole to another village, which was about 6 kilometres away. And the pictures on our Facebook page at that time of people with fresh, clean water that they had never seen before, never seen clean water like this before, was phenomenal. Normally, when I was there a month ago, I went to another area where we would like to find an opportunity to further extend our remote clinic ministry. But we went to the area where this community gets its water. It was a large, large area of a natural dam where in the rainy season the water would be dammed up. It was dry, and the community in that case then dig what we call a shallow well. They dig a hole in the ground and they go down as deep as they need to before they find water. And they're bringing out brown, dirty water. They're carrying that on donkeys for an hour home to feed their family with. And that's what they live on. Much of their day is taken up by collecting this water from the shallow wells. So that is a part of our ministry then with regard to the borehole. But a problem we have with the borehole is, and it's being tested in August, is the borehole sufficient to feed a number of villages? We have another village is looking water from that borehole. We need to find out from the experts whether the water has gone down in the borehole, and can we sustain another village from that same borehole, or will we have to bore another hole for water?
We have another listener, Linda in Hilltop Lake, Texas. I have to enlarge her email because the font is very small. And Linda in Hilltop Lake, Texas says, please ask Brother Dunlop what the denominational situation is in Kenya, whether Anglican, Reformed, or Pentecostal, or other. God bless Fame for spreading the gospel of Christ in that part of the world, and may he bless Iron Sharpens Iron for illuminating the Christian world about this ministry. And that's Linda from Hilltop Lake, Texas.
Yes, thank you, Linda. The denominational situation there, we work with a couple of conservative Baptist denominations and a conservative Presbyterian denomination, which has missionaries from here in North America. There's a large Pentecostal influence, and much of our teaching is countering the Pentecostal charismatic influence in Kenya. And it's a great need because it is a very attractive part of the church. And it's interesting, actually, that just a few months ago, the main Pentecostal church in Kenya made the announcement that their pastors need to go and get taught, and because they realize that their pastors are ill-taught. There's a void in their teaching and their knowledge base, which was significant and interesting to me, because I think Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement is going to find that more and more, that in the quest for the extra spiritual gifts, there's a void in their theology. So the Pentecostal Church in Kenya is recognizing this. They send their pastors then to go and get more training. And many of those pastors are coming to us in our area because we have a small Bible college. So the opportunity for Bible teaching is vast. The doors are wide open to teach these people. They want to be taught. They're eager to be taught. They're begging for solid biblical teaching. And while I was there teaching that week at the end of April, the beginning of May, one old man, 75 years old, he got up and he thanked me for teaching. He said, we just want to learn the scriptures. And his Bible was so worn that the pages on it were illegible.
Wow. Now, what religious background was he from, or denominational background?
I think he was Baptist. Most of those men would have been from a Baptist background. But they're teaching, many of them have never finished grade 12, and they're teaching, so they have a zeal. You know, the fact is, Chris, that the church in Africa and Asia is growing faster today than it is in the West. But it is not growing as far as Bible teaching is concerned proportionately. So there are many, many more believers, and there are less and less resources in the teaching of the pastors. And experts reckon that 8 out of 10 pastors have insufficient finances, few resources, and insufficient training. So it's an area of the Church of Christ globally that I think our church in North America needs to consider as the church grows in Asia and Africa.
Well, thank you so much, Linda from Hilltop Lakes, Texas, for your excellent question. Keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Texas and beyond. And we have Christian in Suffolk County, New York, who says, what are you willing to overlook or compromise on, if anything, in regard to working with other churches and religions in regard to meeting the physical needs of those in the area in Kenya where you are working? I understand that we can never compromise on the gospel of Jesus Christ or primary issues in the scriptures, but when you're faced in a situation like that, especially regarding physical needs, when life and death are at stake, are you willing to bend at all on theology and working hand in hand with those outside of your specific theological circles?
Well, we are a non-denominational mission in Kenya, and that has actually been one of our greatest strengths, because we don't depend on any one denomination. So when we go into an area to evangelize, when we go into an area to give medical aid or any other humanitarian aid, we don't ask them what religion they are. That's not a question we ask. We give them the help they need, and we preach the gospel to them. And the pastors that are employed as our chaplain, as our catechist, as our evangelist, these men are reformed men. And they're going out from our mission with reformed teaching, and they're getting good reformed teaching at our center and through our mission.
I think that Christian was not asking about the recipients, because I'm sure you would help a Muslim or an atheist with physical needs. I think he was referring to those whom are helping you in providing the physical needs. Where would you draw the line in linking arms with an individual or a church or a religion or a group of people? How sharp and clear are the lines, or how soft are they?
Well, you know, we're evangelical reformed, so we hold to the fundamentals of the faith, and so that's our bottom line. Now, as far as compromise on secondary issues, we have never, to my knowledge, faced those issues on the mission field. But we, you know, our goal is to, we're not tied to any particular church, so we're our own mission, where we make our own decisions as far as that's concerned. So to my knowledge, we've never come into a situation where we've had to or been asked to compromise the gospel. Of course, we wouldn't do it. So we're not dependent on other people. There's no coercion to do that.
Right. Well, of course, you would never compromise what you're believing or teaching. But, like, for instance, if, let's say, a Word of Faith Pentecostal group or even a liberal group says, we want to help you dig a well, or we want to help you build a medical center or something like that, where they're involved in physical aid to you, would you accept that kind of aid from anyone, regardless of what they believe? I'm not talking about the recipients.
No, I'm not sure. At the minute, we're getting our support from North America. The scenario in that case from Africa is most unlikely to occur. We're getting our support from North America. There's very little, if any, support comes out of Africa itself. So that we would have to discuss on an individual basis. You know, it has never happened. It's unlikely to happen. And I would not venture to make a prognosis on that without it having happened, and it's unlikely to happen, you know. But we're reformed evangelical witness, and that's where we stand.
Amen.
You know, it's like saying, you know, we're reformed, we state who we are. The likelihood of a Pentecostal or a charismatic or a Romanist individual coming to want our help or to associate with us is unlikely, because we've already raised our flag and fly our banner. So, you know, I hope that answers the question.
Yes.
Well, it's the same in North America, just as it would be in Africa. You raise your flag, you raise your banner, and because your banner's up, it's already going to scare those away who differ with you.
Well, we're going to our midway break right now. If anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Aaron Dunlop regarding fame, the missionary work in Africa, in Kenya to be specific, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And you may remain anonymous if it makes you feel more comfortable, if it's about a personal and private matter. But otherwise, please at least give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Aaron Dunlop and more of our discussion on fame.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in Culinary Arts and Applied Science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with 1 hour to go is Aaron Dunlop. We are talking about FAME, which stands for Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor, which is an organization founded by our guest's father, Alan Dunlop. And if you would like to join us on the air with a question for Aaron about FAME, which he also is a member of the board along with his father. Our email address is chrisarnsen@gmail.com, chrisarnsen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. But before we return to our discussion, I'd like to make a few announcements. First of all, we urgently need your sponsorship here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, this is something that my current advertisers have urged me to make known publicly. They want me to make these public appeals. I have gone many years without making a single mention on the air of a need for donations and new advertisers. But we have reached a crossroads at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and if we want to remain on the air, we need your help, not only through your donations, but if you know of a pastor, a leader in a parachurch organization, or someone who is a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, a chiropractor,
somebody who is a business owner, a corporation owner, or somebody who is having a special event, or maybe you are one or some of these things. Please email me at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and let me know in the subject line that you would like to advertise. And if you would like to donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we always can use and we always need your support. No matter what size gift you can afford to give, we will graciously accept it and thank God for you for providing it. We also thank from the bottom of our hearts those of you who have already given to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Some of you multiple times. Some of you have made Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a part of your regular monthly giving. And we've been so excited to see that. Obviously, as I've said before, I never want anyone to siphon money out of the regular giving that they are providing for their church. That is a command of God that you provide for your church. It is also a command of God that you provide for your own home. If you're struggling seriously financially and finding it hard to put food on the table, obviously we don't want to have you siphon money out of your family's budget if you are that far into the red and having difficulty financially. But if God has blessed you above and beyond your ability to give to your church as always and provide for your family, we'd love to receive a donation from you or become a part of your regular giving. If indeed you love this program and it is a part of your regular habit and it is blessing you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com. ironsharpensironradio.com and click on support. And then you can have an address there. There will be an address there where you will be able to send a check for any amount made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also you can make your checks made payable to Cruciform Media, but it's just easier to remember Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So thank you again for that. And also, there are some events that I want you to be aware of. I've been mentioning in today's broadcast that our guest today, Aaron Dunlop, is the son of Alan Dunlop, who is the founder of FAME, the ministry in Africa we are discussing. Well, Alan Dunlop is going to be on the roster for a conference coming up very soon in New York City, where I intend to be, God willing, and that is the Foundations Conference. And the website to register for this conference is thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, June 22nd through the 23rd in the Chelsea area of Manhattan. And the other speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Dr. Joel Beakey, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel, Armin Tomasian, who we had on the program yesterday, and others. So if you'd like to register again, as I mentioned, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also, this August, the Fellowship Conference New England is going to be held from the 3rd through the 5th of August, and that is in Portland, Maine, including speakers such as Pastor Don Curran of not only Don Curran Ministries, but Heart Cry Missionary Society, the organization founded by Paul Washer. My friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who's an author, and he's also the pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. Pastor Jesse Barrington, who has been a guest on our program. He is the pastor of Grace Life Church in Dallas, Texas, a sister church of Grace Life Church in Lake City, Florida, which runs Grace Life Radio, which airs Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day, the day after the live broadcast. They air our pre-recorded program. And Pastor Nate Pickowitz, who is the pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire. He is also the author of Reviving New England, a book we are going to be discussing, God willing, with Pastor Nate Pickowitz on a broadcast coming up fairly soon here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in just a couple of weeks. If you'd like to join me at the Fellowship Conference New England, please go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And here's a new event that I just found out about through one of my faithful listeners in Indianapolis, Indiana, Erin, who you've heard her submit questions to our guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, I may be at this event. I'm not 100% sure because I just found out about it today, but I'm going to try to see if I can set up an exhibitor's booth there at the Reforming Families Conference in Petersburg, Kentucky. And this is going to be held September 28th through the 30th at the Creation Museum. And they've got an exciting lineup of speakers, including Dr. Joel Beakey, who's been a guest on this program many times, Ken Ham, who's been a guest on this program, Todd Friel, who's also been a guest on this program, Todd Friel, the host of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, David Murray, another person who's been a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He is a professor at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Armin Tomasian, who I just interviewed yesterday, a pastor of the Calgary Free Presbyterian Church in Calgary, British Columbia. And if you would like to attend this conference, go to reformingfamilies.org, reformingfamilies.org, and you can register. And please let them know you heard about the conference on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Next on the lineup in November from the 17th through the 18th, the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology is going to be held at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, on the theme "For Still Our Ancient Foe." That's November 17th through the 18th, featuring such speakers as Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, Dennis Cahill, Scott Oliphant, and others. Go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, and look for that and register for that conference there. The conference theme, again, "For Still Our Ancient Foe," a line from the classic hymn by Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress." Last but not least, the G3 Conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia, from the 18th of January to the 20th in 2018. The theme is "Knowing God, A Biblical Understanding of Discipleship," featuring such speakers as Paul Washer, Stephen Lawson, Vody Baucom, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Beiss, my dear friend of many years, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Tom Askell of Founders Ministries, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, and others. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and you can click on G3 2018 and register there. And again, please always tell whatever organization is running an event that we are promoting. Please always tell those running those events that you heard about those events from Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we appreciate that very much because we want these organizations to continue to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in any way they can. Well, now we are back to re-enter our discussion with Aaron Dunlop, a native of Northern Ireland and graduate of Geneva Reformed Seminary in South Carolina, founder of ThinkGospel.com. We are discussing FAME, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And I'm assuming we have you back, Aaron. I know that you emailed me saying that we lost connection.
We lost connection, but I'm back.
Praise God for that. We do have a listener. Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, "You said earlier that there are men coming from the Pentecostal churches and other churches that are seeking education from your school. Are the pastors of those churches or anyone else involved in those denominations or organizations becoming upset with the fact that you are introducing them to theology that they do not agree with?
That's an interesting question. Good question. I haven't heard of any upset, and to be honest, any Pentecostal leaning individual that I've spoken to at the teaching events that I've undertaken are just so thrilled to be hearing substantive teaching from Scripture that in many cases they haven't heard before. So they're thrilled to hear the Word being taught. My last session of teaching, actually, at the end of April and beginning of May, I taught a week on the Holy Spirit. We fielded many questions the whole week dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit. I knew going into the week that there would be many questions. I was aware of the Pentecostal influence in the area and that there would be those coming. And they were very receptive to it. And when they hear the Scriptures being taught and answers to their questions being based on Scripture, they're very receptive to the teaching. But I have not heard of any authority or leaders in the church being upset.
Thank you, Arnie and Perry County, and please keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron and spreading the word about our program. What kind of Pentecostalism are we speaking about that is problematic? Obviously, that is a very large umbrella, that term, Pentecostal. I mean, you and I are cessationists. We do not believe in the continuation of the sign gifts. And I have some brothers in Christ who more closely resemble a Reformed Baptist because their belief of continuationism is something that is so secondary or tertiary or even lower on the rung of importance that it's not even noticeable in their congregations. And then you have others that obviously you have Pentecostal and charismatic churches that have embraced very dangerous things like the Word of Faith movement. You have those churches being duped by swindlers and charlatans who are bilking them out of countless thousands of dollars. I mean, if you add it up, obviously millions of dollars. What are we speaking about here as Pentecostalism being any kind of a religious threat, spiritually, of course?
I think the greatest Pentecostal influence is the Word of Faith, the health, wealth, and prosperity. And of all the places not to preach such a gospel or so-called gospel is in Africa. And so many of the questions were countering that idea. The Benny Hinn type healing, even. But the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel has made a great influence for the ill in Africa. And most of our questions would have been fielded from that perspective.
Now, it's one thing that I find interesting is that you would have Word of Faith, name it and claim it, theology, or heresy, more aptly put, thriving in Africa, because you would think that after 5, 10, 15 years, when nothing has changed in the person's financial situation, when people realize this is not working, this is the things that we are promised are not happening, I am still poor, I am still living in the depths of poverty, barely able to survive. The only ones that I see who are making or receiving a financial blessing from God through this, they'll say, are the pastors or leaders of this movement. But as far as I can see, nobody else is getting rich from this. How can this still have traction there?
Well, to be honest, I think the same question could be asked in North America, because if it doesn't work in Africa, it's not going to work in North America, right? So you're going to to have people in North America who are believing this gospel and discovering 10 or 15 years later that it hasn't worked. So I believe what you're going to get is a cycle of people through their system. And I presume, therefore, that's what you're going to get there, because the model is just the same in Africa. You're dealing with a different economics, but the model is still the same. And in fact, on the road, the main road out of Nairobi towards Mwingi, which is the main town in our area, there's one of these health, wealth and prosperity gospelers building his own empire, and you can see the construction of it already going, and he's known for his false gospel. So, you know, I presume people get frustrated and move on, realize that it hasn't worked, they just move on, and they get somebody else in the cycle.
We have a CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, when you had Pastor Sam Oluwatch on your program, the area that he specifically lived in Kenya, was very much like the suburbs of Pennsylvania where you, Chris Arnzen, are hosting your program. What is the area like where your guest now is speaking about in Kenya?
The area that what we work in is an area that is plagued with abject poverty. We're dealing with very, very poor people. For instance, one of the days I was there for 2 weeks. The first week was teaching. The second week, I was getting more interaction with the mission, the different aspects of the mission. And on the Wednesday that week, I went out on the motorbikes into what we call remote village evangelism. The evangelist, Philip, our missionary, Rodney Davidson, and myself, on a few motorbikes into areas where we couldn't walk or take another vehicle. And we sit under a tree. You ride up to a little shamba, a little home and farm, and the family all come out. They get the chairs under the tree, or you sit on a half 40-gallon drum or a 5-gallon drum, and you sit for an hour and present the gospel. These are people who are living in abject poverty. One old lady, for instance, she was sitting outside her mud hut with, I believe she had a tin roof. Many of them are thatched roof. The mud hut was falling apart. She had a very thin mattress lying out in the sun, and it was about a 10-by-8 little home that she lived in, a mud hut. That's what they're living in, and that's the demographics, or the economics of the people with whom we're working.
And, well, thank you, CJ. Keep spreading the word in Lindenhurst, Long Island, and beyond. Now, when you describe these people in this abject poverty, how on earth are Word of Faith ministries making money off of these people? I mean, are they just receiving livestock and crops? Or, I mean, what are they actually getting from these people?
Well, I'm sure the Word of Faith people would be influencing more in the suburbs and the city areas. They're influencing these remote areas, maybe not as remote as where we're going in that case of remote evangelism, but they're certainly influencing the area, and the Christians in the area know the philosophy behind it, so they're aware of it. Obviously, they're not the Word of Faith charlatans aren't building their empires on the money of these people, but they're certainly influencing them.
And I remember during my recent discussion that you heard with Pastor Sam Oluwatch, I think that's the time I just pronounced his name correctly. Sorry, Pastor Sam, that I keep butchering it. But I remember now that my memory tool was, as somebody asked me, is that a new watch? No, it's an old watch. So that's how I have to remember Pastor Sam's name, Pastor Sam Oluwatch. When I was interviewing him, witch doctors are a very real phenomenon in Kenya and other parts of Africa, obviously. And some of these Word of Faith Pentecostal churches or extreme Pentecostal churches, their pastors or their faith healers are really have very little difference from the local witch doctor, except that he might use Christian language or buzzwords or catchphrases. Have you been experiencing any confrontation with any witch doctors locally where you are?
No, I haven't personally. I know our missionary, Rodney Davidson, has. One old lady, for instance, he visited in these remote village evangelism. He visited her, and she was converted. And he went back to her, and she's sitting now reading the scriptures, listening to the gospel. And she said to him, he does it through an interpreter, of course, he doesn't come to me at night anymore. And obviously, she's obviously speaking of the devil.
Wow.
Witchcraft. Yeah. Rodney has a number of stories as he's gone out into remote villages to evangelize of cases like this. Witchcraft is ongoing in that part of Africa. And there are people being saved out of it in the area in which we work.
Praise God. Well, we are going to our final break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for our guest, Aaron Dunlop, about FAME, this mission work in Africa, please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give me your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And if you insist on remaining anonymous because of a personal and private matter that is involved in your question, we will accept that and we will honor your request. But otherwise, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages with Aaron Dunlop.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivin Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivin story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrive-It story.
We were made to thrive.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. 3768, or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, for the last 90 minutes and the next half hour to come, our guest has been and will continue to be Aaron Dunlop, a native of Northern Ireland, graduate of Geneva Reformed Seminary in South Carolina, an author and the founder of ThinkGospel.com. We are discussing FAME, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavor, which was founded by his father, Alan Dunlop. And Alan, as we said earlier, is one of the featured speakers at the Foundations Conference, the conference organized by Sermon Audio in New York City in the Chelsea area of Manhattan on 350 West 26th Street, to be precise. And that's from June 22nd through the 23rd. He is one of a number of speakers at that conference, and we hope that you register at thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, to attend that event. But if you'd like to join us with a question of your own for Aaron over the next 25 minutes or so that we have left, our email address is chrisarnsen@gmail.com, chrisarnsen@gmail.com. And we have Murray in Kinross, Scotland, who says, I've missed some of the program, so apologies if this has already been covered. Do you have much involvement with literature and radio ministry in the part of Kenya that you labor in?
That's an interesting question. We have, there's a lot of literature going out from a ministry in Northern Ireland to Kenya, and we're very thankful for that. Revival ministry in Northern Ireland, and also from another ministry there. We have been looking into, I met a man while I was there in Nairobi with regards to looking into a radio mast for local radio. So So that discussion actually is ongoing to try to get local radio in the area.
Well, thank you, Murray and Kinross, Scotland. Please continue to spread the word about Iron Sharpens Iron in the UK. BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, asks, I know that in the United States, it has been proven to be very effective to have Bible conferences with notable speakers and authors and theologians on the dais or on the roster of these conferences to draw people to explore and discover and embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace or Reformed theology. Has FAME been using this method as well there in Kenya?
We haven't, as far as getting big names. Any sort of a Bible conference in the area in which we work, any sort of teaching week draws big numbers, no matter who the speaker is. And I say that because I was the speaker for the past 2 years. We had numbers up to 220 plus for a week teaching here in our compound. We have a resource center, which is associated with our small Bible college. And this is an area that I would like to see developed. We need the laborers, we need the finance to develop it, but I would like to see the area of pastor training, conferences of bringing men from North America, and our board here in North America have discussed this as a way that we could go forward, bringing pastors who want a broader influence, to a trip to Africa to teach the African church, an input as far as their church ministry is concerned, as far away as Africa. It's an area that I personally would like to see developed to make our college more robust, full-time, and to engage other men in North America in the ministry that we have there. The door is open. The fields are white to harvest, and we're praying that the Lord will send laborers. In fact, that verse came to me very forcibly while I was there just to pass visit. The need for laborers is phenomenal. The wide open door in Africa and ministry in Africa is phenomenal. And we need laborers, we need finance to branch out and to do more. And there's so much more we could do in both the remote clinic evangelism and in the Bible college area of our work.
Well, that leads me to ask you, and I'd like you to have as much time as you need to be very detailed on this. Please let our listeners know every way that they could be of help to the mission work that you are participating in there with your father. I know that obviously you need financial assistance, but there are most likely other avenues that people can use their gifts assist you in the labors there. Just let our listeners know exactly what you need from them, and who knows what God will rise up out of that, not only because this program is live and heard all around the world, but the recording is archived, or will be, God willing, on the website of ironsharpensironradio.com, and you never know who will discover this interview. So please let everyone know exactly how they can be of help to FAME.
Well, the first thing, of course, and I say it without trying to be cliche, is to pray. Not all will go, and not all can give, but all can pray. So that's the first thing we need is to pray, and to pray the Lord will send forth laborers into the field, and to pray the Lord will provide the need that we already have on the field, both for the ongoing famine relief, the clinic work, the orphanage work, the baby rescue unit, the Bible college that's ongoing, and the general maintenance of the clinic, of the compound there. But we in North America would love to see another outreach clinic built and developed in another area. I visited an area about 2 hours from where our main base is, our headquarters there. And the area has no evangelical work. There's no running water. The people have to walk for an hour to get dirty water to live on. They have no electricity. And there's no medical assistance. They have to walk for over an hour to get medical assistance. And this is just one area of many that we could work in. But this is an area that I visited. I met the people. And the need there is phenomenal. We have already got an outreach clinic in a place called Minot, and it costs about $1,000 a month, $1,000 US a month to run that clinic. The capital has already been provided, the clinic has already been built, the land has already been acquired, and the running cost is about $1,000 a month. And that includes the medicine, the two nurses, the one nurse and a nurse's aide, and a chaplain assigned to that clinic. And he does evangelism in the area, and the literature, the gospel literature that is associated with that clinic. We would like to see another one, as I said, developed in another area. Now, if we could get a businessman, a church, to give towards that particular project, that's something that we would like, that I would like to see developed. It's a potential for our mission. Another aspect, of course, is the pastor's training that's on my heart, to train the pastors, to teach the pastors, and to give them the basis and more literature, as your last question came in there from Scotland. More literature, if there is someone who has access to more literature and resources that they could send out, I'd be happy to hear from you. To run that college, it's about $10,000 a year to make that a full-time college. We would need about $10,000 a year. So when you look at the potential of the work, $10,000 is very, very little from a North American perspective, but it goes a long, long way in Africa. You know, when I'm talking about running a clinic for $1,000 and the area the catchment area that is servicing, the impact is phenomenal, and we cannot compute the impact that our first clinic and that our existing remote clinic has made on the area, both health-wise and also spiritually for the people there in Africa. So that's what I personally would appeal for, is that the opportunities for a remote clinic, another remote clinic, $1,000 a month, and also our Bible college.
Well, I want you to let our listeners know about the missionary safari coming up July 31st through August 16th.
Yes, that trip has planned to go. As I said before, I'm not going on this particular trip. A guy called Trevor Cunningham here from Toronto is leading that trip. They're going out with a group from Northern Ireland. They'll meet there, and they will dig a tract that will go from the borehole, the existing borehole. They'll change the pipe from the borehole to the tank, and the new tank will already be in place by that time, Lord willing. And with the new tank and the new pipe, the new borehole, the new water pump in place, they will be able to reinstate the water to the villages and to the schools. So they're excited about that. Just to see clean water running in Africa is a phenomenon that many Africans have never seen. And we take it for granted. We turn on the faucet, we get a drink of water, and we think nothing of it. For clean water to run in the part of Africa in which we work, it's a phenomenon that many have never witnessed. Go ahead.
So are you saying that this missionary safari is a fundraiser for that? What is the connection with the safari that you're having?
Well, the safari is just a word that we use for that missions trip.
Oh, I see.
And they will go, by the way, they will go on a safari. A safari is just another word for a journey or a trip. they will go on a safari while they're there to Meru National Park, which is a beautiful reserve, and they'll see the animals and so forth on the last 2 days of the trip. But the mission, it's a missions trip in to get people involved, to encourage interest in the mission, and to take young people to that part of Africa which they will see, in which they will see the need, they will see the people, they will engage with the people there, and that trip to a spiritual heart will change their lives and will change their perspective on life in North America. A trip to Africa, to this part of Africa, is life-changing. You're never the same. Once you've seen these people, you've met them, and you've shared the gospel with them, you've interacted with them and shared in the fellowship of the gospel. It's a life changer. And that's what we do these missions trips for, not only to help the people there on the ground, but to engage our young people here in North America, to take them there and to show them the glory of what it is to work with these people and to do something for the Lord among this very needy people.
So if a church hearing this wants to set up a trip to Kenya to do some kind of work there, I mean, this is a controversial thing, actually, because perhaps you could respond to this. I have heard from some involved in missionary work on the mission field who are not comfortable with churches treating a mission field trip like a vacation for the youth. And some of the activity involved in the churches is actually something that is problematic, gets in the way of what is actually going on with those actual ministries overseas, such as yours, where they don't think that the resources and finances are being spent as well as they could. They have said the resources and funds of your church sending a whole youth group over to Africa would be better spent if you just funded the local indigenous organization rather than shipping out a bunch of kids. So what is your philosophy or thought on that?
Yeah, I've heard that argument many, many times, and we've discussed it, I've talked about it. I myself spent a year in Jamaica. I'm aware of the disruption that a holiday maker can have on a local missionary, and I did not encourage that. I discouraged it while I was there in Jamaica. But as far as the work in Kenya is concerned, our young people, the young people who go on our trips, are not on a holiday. We might take them the last 2 days, as I said, on a safari on the way to the airport. They'll go via Meru National Park and they'll see the sights. But while they're there, it is not a holiday. They're working with the people. They're working for the people. They're engaging in the ministry. It's a spiritual exercise. And another aspect which you mentioned and which I'm very specifically against is a church funding these young people. The young people that go on our trips are funding themselves. So they might get gifts and be helped by other people in the church or by a church who wants to particularly give to a group or an individual. But the young people that go on our trips are funded. They're funding the trip themselves. These are young people who are sacrificing in many cases to go. And so that's a key element from my perspective on young people who go, because you're right, I would be against, and our mission does not facilitate holiday makers like that. So, yeah, the argument is broad. There's many different aspects and dimensions to it. Does it disrupt the mission too much? Is there better ways to spend the money? Would it not be better to send the money? But we have found that many, many people who go are so influenced by the work and the spiritual interaction of the work and the team that in which they're involved that they come back better for it. They have a lifelong interest in the mission. And many of the people that we have now involved in the mission were some of the first teams that went out 20 years ago.
Wow. Well, praise God for that. And as much as I hate to admit it, when someone with a false theology and, dare I say, even a cult can do something in some aspect in a superior fashion to Christian churches, I think that in some way we can learn a lesson from the Mormons. And I say that with fear and trepidation in my heart. But the Mormons typically, from what I understand, they send out their missionaries not only domestically but globally. And those young men have to they pay their own way for everything. And they get jobs where they go and make a living, and they pay their own rent and so on. This is something that should probably be done by more Christian young people, because the money would be siphoned out of actual uses that would it would be better suited for, such as just sending a check to Fame or something, and let them let you and your co-laborers there use the funds where you believe it's most wisely put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I reiterate that these young people who go, and all the families who go, are spending their own money. They're sacrificing, very many of them. They're saving up to go, and they're paying over a period of time in order to raise the money to go. Over 90% of the money raised by our mission, I think it's over 93%, goes directly to the field. So our board is a volunteer board. The work that we do, both in Northern Ireland and in North America here, is volunteer work. So that the majority, the vast majority, over 93% of the money is going directly to the people.
And folks can, when they go to your website, when they go to famemission.org, they can actually, if they don't want to just send you a check, and, you know, with no specific intent, just for general use, if they would rather fund a project, you actually have that way that people can easily do that on your website at famemission.org, where they could pick a project.
Right. We have the two projects at the minute ongoing is the Outreach Rescue Clinic and the Water Tank Project. The Outreach Rescue Clinic, the water project is ongoing, of course, but the Outreach Rescue Clinic is the greatest focus of our mission here, our ministry in North America. And our brother Stephen Lee of Sermon Audio has done an amazing work in a new documentary that he's produced from Sermon Audio, Mungo Kwanza, which is God First in Swahili. And in that DVD video, he tells the story of the mission through the lives of particular individuals. And so that work, the Outreach Rescue Clinic, is the major project ongoing at the present time. But yeah, you can go to the website, famemission.org, and you can give to either of those projects. You can give a one-off donation. You can set it up to give monthly or weekly or whatever, and yeah, rather than sending a check in.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, if a pastor who has a similar or identical theological background to you wants to preach at some event that you're having, do you welcome such visits from pastors and preachers and evangelists who are qualified and who are within the perimeters of theology that you welcome?
Yes, if it's a pastor, reformed, evangelical pastor who wants to teach and broaden his influence of ministry in Africa, tell him to give me a call. Drop me an email, rmd@famemissions.org. And we use individuals who are interested in the work yet.
If you could, before we go, I'd like you to give perhaps some kind of a memorable anecdote, a story or something that relates to what you're doing that may give an idea of why this is such an important work you're involved in?
Well, there are many, many memorable occasions, like sitting under a tree for an hour just talking to an old lady who's never heard the gospel but always believed there's a God. She held her stomach and said, "I believe there's a God, because while I was carrying my babies, I knew this had to be of God. Only God could do this."
Wow.
So their idea of general revelation is phenomenal. And we met no atheists. They believe that the God exists. And so when we go to teach them the gospel, it's from the basis of a God who created the world, and they're aware of him in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and they're aware of that. And so when you go to teach them either under a tree in a remote shamba or in a Bible college setting where I was teaching for a week, they're just eager to hear the word of God, and to drink it in and to question. And we could have sat for hours more than we did, just questioning and discussing the subject that we had on hand that week. So just the eagerness to learn and to drink in the word of God. We're so thirsty for the word. You know, we in North America, one of your listeners just mentioned there the whole conference circuit, and right on that, against conferences, I think the Reformed Church in North America talks too much to itself and not enough to the world around it. Well, we need to get out into these areas of Africa and reach people who need to be reached. Many of the conferences that we go to are talking to people who already know the gospel. They already know Reformed theology, so they're just wallowing in their own theology that they already know. We're in an area where these people are hungry for the word. We need to be taught. So I would like to see more reaching out. And I know, like your previous interviewee from Kenya was thrilled to hear that gentleman from Kisumu and the work of the Reformed Church in Kenya, and our brother in Zambia, Conrad Mbuye. The work in Africa is open for workers and for finance to help these brethren as they go forward, propagating the truth and preaching the truth, and disseminating the gospel into this area. The gospel is going into these areas, and as we said before, the Pentecostal church and broad evangelicalism is going into these areas, and the church is growing faster in Asia and Africa than it is in North America. We need to get out then and teach in the wake of this work of evangelism. We need to get out and teach them and teach the pastors the gospel, that they can go out then and teach and disseminate in their areas that we will never get to.
Amen. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. First of all, you can go to the FAME website, which we have been mentioning throughout the program, but it is famemission.org. FAME Mission, and it's not plural, it's a singular word, famemission.org. And you could also go to thinkgospel.com, thinkgospel.com. And last but not least, don't forget about the Foundations Conference, where Aaron's father, Alan, will be on the roster of speakers June 22nd through the 23rd in New York City. And God willing, I will be there. And that website is thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. And do you plan to be there as well, Aaron?
I do, yes. I plan to go down on the Thursday and be there for Thursday evening and Friday.
Great. Well, God willing, I will be there too, and I'm looking forward to meeting you face-to-face.
Yes, indeed.
That's thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Well, I want to thank everybody who listened today. I want to thank especially those who took the time to write in questions. Of course, I want to thank you again, Aaron Dunlop, for being my guest and letting our listeners know about this wonderful ministry, Fame in Kenya. And I want all of you to have a safe and blessed weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.